The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today I'm delighted to be joined by my good friend, Dr. Eric Karlstrom. I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yeah, greetings, Andy. Good to be with you again for our 53rd joint effort here since 2016. So we've racked up quite a few shows on quite a few topics, and the world... that we were trying to avoid has come down crashing around us now. It looks like the new world order has really made its move, and now we all have to learn to live with this new system. But of course, we have free will, we have our minds, and we must continue to resist in whatever possible ways we can, because we know what's behind this is very dark. So. With that said, we keep our, keep our optimism up and pray to God and keep rowing to shore. Glad to be with you. Glad that there are a few sources of truth that remain. We're in a matrix of lies, and we've talked about that, and we've talked about that so much. I think if people listened to all 52 of our shows, they would have been in a position to counter this, a much better position. Likewise, with my five websites, all of this is to pour out truth so that people are in a position to defend themselves and their civilization, which is Christian civilization. But we continue, we keep trying, and hopefully people wake up when they wake up and the critical mass is achieved. But we have no crystal ball. We just have to keep forging ahead. So good to be with you.
Thank you, Eric. Great to have you on board as well. And just to put this show into context for you folks, we're recording this. I'm looking at the live feed from the BBC. This is Wednesday as we record this, and Donald Trump has just got onto Air Force One to fly to Florida. So if anything has happened between now and when you're hearing this on Friday and you're thinking, why on earth aren't Eric and Andy talking about that? That is why. This is the time that we're doing it. And that's why today... obviously, there are many other good shows. Go to rentsradioarchives.com, David Duke, Stormfront, of course, Jeff Rentz's show itself that you can subscribe to as I do. If you want something that's going out live, Ted and Austin Brower show's on there too. But we're going to cover some topic-based material today. To also, if anything has happened that's major and everyone's talking about it, we'll talk about something different. And Eric is, of course... a specialist in many fields. He has different websites on 9/11. Eric, can you just give us the names of those websites quickly?
Yeah, I retired from a 30-year teaching career. I was a geography professor, physical geography, at three universities between 1981 and 2011. When I retired to little old Crestone, Colorado, beautiful mountain town in southern Colorado in 2011, I just kept researching because that was my pattern and my habit, and actually I enjoy it. And I started asking some interesting questions. By that time, I already had some websites that were ongoing. One was naturalclimatechange.org, which is really my field. Which, blows the man-caused global warming fraud out of the water and corrects the many, many, many errors in that. Also, San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com, because there's a big water scam going on there by Marie Strong and the United Nations back in the 80s. And the legacy of that's still with us. And then I have also my 911nwo.com website, which is quite huge. We'll refer to that today. My gang stalking mindcontrolcults.com website, which is even larger with about 1,600 posts, which is mostly what I've been working on since 2016, since I became a targeted individual in 2013. I wanted to understand that phenomenon and to educate myself and others. And then lastly, my music website, ericcarlstrom.com, in which I have a 74-part soundtracks with readings from my gangstalking mindcontrolcults.com website, which give the headlines from that, and which is available digitally. Again, if people were to avail themselves of that information, we might have a chance, because as we mentioned last time, you know, the intelligence agencies work for the synagogue of Satan, the high cabal. And so we've been talking especially about the CIA lately, and how they operate to control us. And so, yeah, those are my five websites. I'm still working on them. I am targeted, so I get to study them as they try to, you know, totally surveil me and control my life in all these little setups and psyops and whatnot. I'm living in a James Bond novel, and I see how they operate. And it's really, you know, quite actually boring after a while. But I continue, and I have hope in the human spirit and the human and, of course, faith in God. And I know God's on our side. I know what we're up against is extraordinarily evil. So that is our duty and our pleasure to expose evil, as it says in Ephesians. What is it? 5:11. Yeah. So those are my websites. And if you don't, we talked earlier, Andy, about maybe what we might discuss today. And I said, well, you know, it might be relevant to talk about what really happened at Jonestown, because there is a whole cover-up myth about that, as per usual in intelligence ops. And that myth has become embedded in the public psyche, but it's far from the truth. And this story I tell in my long series of articles on my 911nwo.com website, under the heading New World Religion ? And the series is called Is Crestone Baca, Colorado the Vatican City of the New World Order, : an expose of the New World Religion. And this I started researching upon my retirement in 2011. I'll just read through the names of the chapters here. It's well over 1,500 pages. I haven't published it as a book. Probably when I do, I will be offed. This has been suppressed, of course, like most of my work. But part one is the UN, Marie Strong, Crestone Baca, Colorado, and the New World Religion, which, of course, is Satanism, Luciferianism. Part two, the Rockefeller and Rothschild Empires, the Freemasons, and the birth of the Illuminati. Part three, Illuminati and Freemasonic structure, origins in Pharisaism, Kabbalah, Synagogue of Satan, and connections to the New Age plan. Part four, the parentheses Jewish controllers and their destructive mission. Part five, how the controllers, quote unquote, control us, the co-option and corruption of culture and institutions. Part six took all of 2012 to write. It's called Mind Control, History and Applications. Now we get down into what's really been going on for 100 years and how they intend to enslave and control us, and are doing that. Part seven, electronic mind control and electronic weapons. Part eight, cult connections. Part 9, from UFO cults to 9/11. Part 10, Crestone Baca, context and connections. Part 10B, Crestone Baca, context and connections continued. Part 11, summary hypotheses 1 through 144 and conclusions. Part 12, summary hypotheses 142 through 333 and conclusions, Part B. And then I have 79, count of 79 appendices. So if and when I actually assemble this into a book, it's going to be probably a series of books, and I'm going to have to edit it, of course. But it's very important material, because it exposes the underbelly of how these operations work. And of course, Crestone Baca, Colorado, was essentially a UN beachhead in the United States since the 70s, when Maurice Strong, who had, author of UN Agenda 21 and the Earth Charter and all kinds of things, one of the most powerful UN potentates, came to Crestone Baca and set up his New Age community there under the aegis of the Manitou Foundation, which is run by his Danish wife. So the story about Jonestown is told in the context of Part 8 under cult connections. And it turns out that the CIA took the work of the Nazis, of course. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, Eric, just before you get into that, can I just read the Wikipedia version? So I'll read the mainstream version of Jonestown, just to put it into context for people who might not have heard of it, and then hand over to you for, what you've actually discovered to be far more true to what happened. What they say on Wikipedia... The People's Temple Agricultural Project, better known by its informal name Jonestown, was a remote settlement in Guyana established by the People's Temple, a San Francisco-based cult under the leadership of Jim Jones. The settlement became internationally known when, on November the 18th, 1978, a total of 918 people died at the settlement at the nearby airstrip at Port Katuma and at a temple-run building in Georgetown, Guyana's capital city. The name of the settlement became synonymous with the incidents at those locations. In total, 909 individuals died in Jonestown, all but two from apparent cyanide poisoning, in an event termed Revolutionary Suicide by Jones and some People's Temple members on an audio tape of the event and in prior recorded discussions. The poisonings in Jonestown followed the murder of five others by temple members at Port Katuma, including United States Congressman Leo Ryan, an act that Jones ordered. Four other temple members committed murder-suicide in Georgetown at Jones's command. Terms used to describe the deaths in Jonestown and Georgetown evolved over time. Many contemporary media accounts after the events called the deaths a mass suicide. In contrast, most sources today refer to the deaths with terms such as mass murder-suicide, a massacre, or simply mass murder. 70 or more individuals at Jonestown were injected with poison. A third of the victims, 304, were minors. Guards armed with guns and crossbows have been ordered to shoot those who fled Jonestown, the Jonestown Pavilion, as Jones lobbied for suicide. The massacre at Jonestown represented the largest loss of American civilian life in a deliberate act until September the 11th. 2001. So I just want to put it into context there. Eric, please go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you read that. Of course, the whole myth about, drinking the Kool-Aid is now embedded in our culture, and the story, evolved that, they all went crazy, and their leader, the cult leader, Jim Jones, told everybody to drink Kool-Aid and commit suicide. Like the Hale Bopp cult. But what would you find if you look deeper, of course, is a very different story. And I put this together from several sources. There's a book by Tim Reiterman called Raven, The Untold Story of Reverend Jim Jones and His People that comes out of 2008. There's an account with Jim Keith, 2003. I think that's Mind Control, World Control. There's another account by John Judge, which came out... So there's about four accounts that I looked at to piece together what really happened, and I thought it was of interest. So I put this in my Cult Connections, Part 8 of my series of articles, Is Crestone Baca the Vatican City of the New World Order? And here's what really happened. In his early career, Jim Jones was a member of Bertrand Russell's Fellowship for Reconciliation. Now, Bertrand Russell was kind of an Illuminati character. I think he's out of England, and I know he was the supervisor for Dr. Norbert Wiener's work at MIT, who is a mathematician who came up with the subject or the topic of cybernetics, merging man and machine, and wrote a book in 1948 on cybernetics. And then in 1950, wrote another book called The Human Use of Human Beings. And then in 1963, wrote a small pamphlet called God and Gollum, Inc., and Gollum being the mythical monster, Frankenstein monster, that the Jews create to defeat all their enemies. And in fact, that all of that is symbolic and very representative of what has happened since then, because Dr. Norbert Wiener figured out how to, quote unquote, activate the human subject remotely with electronics, that is to say, sending and receiving EEG messages and interpreting them with his autocorrelator, which he invented in 1955. Anyway, Bertrand Russell was his supervisor. All of this has to do with enslaving all of humankind. And it's a long project, and we can talk about it from many, many, many angles. But let me go back to where I was. Jim Jones was a member of Bertrand Russell's Fellowship for Reconciliation. He was the Office of Naval Intelligence guy, ONI, which is just, you know, as high as the CIA, really, supported by the U.S. Embassy in Brazil. He was a lifelong personal friend and associate of Dan Mitrione, one of the CIA's most famous torturers in Latin America, who taught torture techniques to many of the death squads or police interrogation units throughout Latin America when the Phoenix program moved to South and Central America. The fellowship financed Jones' first trip to Brazil in 1961, at which time he visited and received money from CIA headquarters there. By one account, he distributed leaflets, tried to stir up revolutionary sentiments, and participated in a CIA effort to overthrow the Brazilian government. This is the kind of stuff the CIA really does. A major funder for Jones' first church in Indianapolis, now by this time he had kind of donned the persona of a minister, even though he was an intelligence operative. His first major funder was Rabbi Maurice Davis, who had worked as chaplain at the Lexington Addiction Research Center, where MK Ultra, that's the CIA's mind control project, research had been done, and who was a board member of the American Family Foundation. Oh, it sounds so sweet, American Family Foundation. You wouldn't know it's dedicated to abuse and mind control. After Jones moved his fellowship to Ukiah, California, there were reports that behavior modification experiments, including sensory deprivation, were being conducted on his congregation, which was predominantly comprised of blacks. And now here I have to mention, well, I'll go on to the next one. Jones' group infiltrated and took over the Mendocino State Hospital as a part of a government pilot project to deinstitutionalize mental patients. This happened under Ronald Reagan as governor. When California Governor Reagan cut funding for mental institutions, most of the patients at Mendocino were released to custody of the People's Temple. You see how this is a bigger operation, involves the state of California government as well. Among key supporters of Jones were the Layton family, headed by Dr. Lawrence Laird Layton, who had immigrated to America from Nazi Germany after World War II, probably in Operation Paperclip with some tens, even hundreds of thousands of other German scientists, etc., mind control and rocket scientists mostly. Dr. Layton had worked on the Manhattan Project, government programs in chemical and biological and ecological warfare, and Army LSD research. In fact, Layton was chief of the U.S. Army's Chemical Warfare Division between 1952 and 1954. Okay, the People's Temple was established at Matthews Ridge in northeastern Guyana, near Venezuela, at the site of Union Carbide's bauxite and manganese mine, where precious metals such as gold, diamonds, and uranium were present. This site had been considered as a relocation site for Jews after World War II. Later, Guyanese Prime Minister Forbes Burnham, who was a British lawyer, participated in a failed plan to relocate blacks from the UK to work there. Prior to its use as Jonestown, the CIA established their, quote, Operation Shalom there, a training camp for guerrillas to be used in operations in Angola between 1973 and 1975. You can check out the work of John Stockwell on what happened in Angola, because he was the highest level CIA operative ever to go public and wrote some very good books and gave lots of good lectures about what really happened there. The next one, Jones received support from the U.S. Embassy in Georgetown, Guyana, which was headquarters for the CIA and may have been staffed exclusively by CIA officers. Okay, behind its religious front, Jonestown functioned as a brutal slave labor mind control experiment, much like Auschwitz, Andy, that exploited mostly blacks, an official target population, quote unquote, who made up the majority of Jones' followers, a total of 1,100. Now, these were people, that were let out of the mental institution, so they weren't too bright, and they didn't have much going, but they did have their disability checks coming in every month, and Jones collected those and became quite rich. Guyanese children were also bought. Jones' followers, it sounds a little bit like Epstein's operation now. Jones' followers worked 16 to 18 hour days, were forced to live in cramped headquarters, in quarters and fed minimal rations. They were forced to stay awake at night and listen to lectures by Jones. Threats and abuse were common. Punishments included forced drugging, sensory isolation in an underground box, electroshock, physical torture, and public rape and humiliation by Mr. Jones himself. He was kind of psychopath, actually. As we shall discover in other accounts, Jones was bisexual and used sex, particularly sodomy, as a means of humiliating and controlling both men and women. Okay, now we have a very different picture emerging. Next, the camp medical officer, Dr. Lawrence Schatt, kept meticulous daily notes and drug records. His staff was known to perform unnecessary surgery without anesthetic. So again, torture and mind control is the order of the day, much as it was in Auschwitz, and as we'll see in many, many, many other facilities throughout Central and South America, and indeed the world, run by the CIA, etc. Jones became extremely wealthy, estimated worth between $26 million and $2 billion, and stashed his money in foreign bank accounts, foreign investments, and real estate. Key members set up accounts worldwide. Evidence suggests temple funds were augmented by profits from members who were involved in international smuggling of guns and drugs. Okay, there we go back to, you know, the same kind of Iran-Contra type of operations. Much of this money disappeared after the mass murder of 913 of Jones's followers. Now, Congressman Leo Ryan, who is the hero of this story, was a member of the House Committee responsible for oversight on intelligence operation and was co-author of the Hughes-Ryan Amendment that would have required the CIA to disclose all future covert operations. When Ryan visited George Jonestown, he got wind that there were some really strange things going on there. He was executed by some Jones white special guards. Okay, now the special forces come in. The massacre of some 913 mostly black followers ensued shortly thereafter. So in other words, the operation was exposed. It was busted. They had to cover it up. They had to terminate the operation. And with that, almost everybody involved. The congressional amendment was defeated, of course, shortly after Ryan's murder. The Kool-Aid myth is disproven by the fact that the coroner's report indicates 80 to 90% of the dead had fresh needle marks on their body. Okay, murder by injection. And that's why this probably has relevance to the upcoming vaccines, which are coupled with Bill Gates' 060606 patent for total enslavement of human beings. Others were shot or strangled. Press reports indicate the CIA agent Richard Dwyer was on the scene at the time of the massacre. Next, that Washington officials were aware of the Jonestown massacre is indicated by the fact that an aide to National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski brought orders to one of the original globalists along with Kissinger from the Carter administration in the 1970s, brought orders to remove, quote, all politically sensitive papers and forms of identification from the bodies. Okay, so Brzezinski, National Security Advisor, was in on the murder, the plot. The corpse alleged to have been Jones was unidentifiable, kind of like, Osama bin Laden, but did not have Jones' distinctive chest tattoos. Next, the Jonestown model persists today in other concentration mind control camps in Guyana and elsewhere in the Third World. 25 miles north of Matthew Ridge is a much larger community called Hilltown, run by Rabbi David Hill, a.k.a., he's black too, Rabbi Washington, of the House of Israel Black Supremacist Cult. There are some 8,000 black people, 8,000, this is just 25 miles away Matthew Ridge, Jonestown, 8,000 black people provided slave labor and mind control subjects. You get in the picture here? This is what they want to do to all of us and have been doing to larger and larger numbers. A 300-member guard force known as the Royal Cadets helps keep order. Hill himself was an ex-convict from Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, so useful to the cryptocracy, the rule by secrecy. The mass murder of Jones' followers was carried out by employees of the American intelligence establishment when Ryan's visit threatened to expose the operation. The same intelligence establishment controlled the cover-up of the crime and ensured that the media maintained the fiction that Jones was merely a deranged leader of a crazy religious cult. Postscript 1. According to Judge, on the eve of the massacre, Guyanese Prime Minister Forbes, who again is the lawyer coming from Britain, was converted to born-again Christianity by members of the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen's Association. Doesn't that sound sweet? This group, based in California, also reportedly converted Guatemalan dictator Rios Montt prior to his massacres there in the 1980s. That was the killing fields of Guatemala, killed over 200,000, mostly Mayan natives. This group conducted the daily White House prayer breakfast for President Reagan. Oh, sweet. Postscript 2. As of 1985, the People's Temple site in Guyana was being repopulated by Laotian Hmong people. Of course, they were the hill people who were used by the CIA and the military in Vietnam as guerrilla terrorists, but also who got enriched for the opium trade because Vang Pao traded with the CIA on Air America and other exploits, and one-third of the U.S. military troops in the early 1970s were actually hooked on heroin. Okay, so a lot of the Laotian Hmong people wound up in California, but also they're being repopulated into this area, many of whom had grown opium for CIA opium trade during the Vietnam War. This more recent project was designed by Billy Graham's nephew, Ernest, and members of the Federation of Evangelical Ministries Association in Illinois. I guess America really does deserve to go to hell. Conclusion 1, the cover story of Reverend Jim Jones and his People Temple utopian religious cult agricultural experiment is merely a front, as per usual. Actually, Jonestown was a tightly run slave labor mind control concentration camp run by American intelligence, complete with medical and psychiatric experimentation. It was one of many such camps located throughout the world that were and are being used to advance various geopolitical objectives. Conclusion 2, the Jonestown operation fulfilled several intelligence objectives. A, support for a coup d'etat of a left-wing Guyanese prime minister. B, cheap labor for the concentration camp. C, test site for continued MKUltra type mind control programs. And D, cover for various international criminal activities. Conclusion 3, the modus operandi of the Jonestown massacre seems similar to that used in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in 9/11. That is, it was an intelligence operation with multiple objectives that was covered up at the highest levels by politicians and the media. The crimes were attributed to patsies or lone nuts who themselves were groomed for their roles by the intelligence agencies. The concluding comment from Latin America High Weirdness article, which I also review here, regarding Congressman Ryan's brave and quixotic attempt to rein in the rogue CIA activities of the CIA, quote, nobody interferes with the CIA and gets away with it. So we talked last time, Andy, about the CIA and how it operates. And here is a good real life example. But again, you have to plow through several layers of cover stories to get to the reality. Fortunately, John Judge and this guy Reiterman and Jim Keith and various other authors did the work. And all I did is report on their conclusions. And based on my own research, I'll go with their work rather than the fantasy cover story that we've all been fed by the mainstream media.
Yes, indeed. It's very interesting information, and it certainly seems that there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. And when you look at his background in these different societies and his intelligence links and things like that, I remember there was a very good documentary in the UK. Of course, it was mainstream. There was a Channel 4 documentary series called Witness, and they did one on Waco and they did one on Jonestown, and they had they showed some footage of Jim Jones, and he was jumping up and down on a Bible. I shouldn't laugh, but he was like, look, I can drop this Bible. Look, I can jump up and down on it. Nothing's going to happen to me and stuff. And this was him talking to his followers where he started out in San Francisco. But it was extremely odd. The Leo Ryan business, I could never work out why they would suddenly want to kill that congressman. And then decide to order this so-called mass suicide. It was just... the whole thing didn't make sense, and I think that this is why as you said, the big new Brzezinski ordered all these different papers to be seized off people identifying things like that. And it really is quite shocking. We can move on as well to sort of, let me just go to, I mean, for example, you were talking about the injections, the vaccines. It looks like these people were injected. I think that what they seem to have in mind at the moment, it's very difficult where we are because, of course, if people do die taking this vaccine, we know the mainstream media aren't just not going to report it. But in that case of, you know, remember that woman, I forget her name, who's supposed to, the one who collapsed within 17 minutes or something of taking it and then said that she has a reaction to pain where, you know, she can sometimes pass out. Well, why choose her? And firstly, and secondly, why wouldn't she have passed out as soon as she had the injection when you get the pain rather than 17 minutes later? But she was reported to have died. People claim to have seen evidence of, you know, the death certificate and what have you. But then the authorities roll out a bit of video that says, oh, no, look, there she is with someone that doesn't look anything like her amongst a load of other nurses. So they'll stop at, no, they won't stop at any lengths to actually cover what they do. So what really can we do? I mean, I will be avoiding the vaccine, not just because it's this vaccine, but because I've avoided vaccines since, oh, it's got to be, haven't had a vaccine in like 18 years. And I wouldn't do because I've read too much about it and I've actually spoken to people. I had a dinner with a couple who'd come over to the UK from the US to speak at a conference and had gotten to know me. And the lady's daughter had developed autism and died at the age of 4. And she put that completely down to vaccines. And consequently, she ended up setting up her own, you know, vaccine awareness sites and stuff like that, which was why she was invited as a featured speaker at this conference in London when we met. So I made the decision long ago not to take a vaccine. What are your views on the vaccine and the potential as well that some people are saying, well, it won't act straight away, otherwise that would be too obvious, but once they've got this in you, they can actually do different things. What have you found out about that, Eric?
Well, you know, those of us who studied these things, you know, are very, very aware that our ruling elite are eugenicists, that they believe that the world is overpopulated and that they want to reduce the human population. And of course, Bill Gates has made many statements to that effect, and say his father and he were both, you know, are both eugenicists. And so this really is the plan. You know, I mean, we've seen all these vaccines over the years. There's $4 billion lawsuits against the U.S. government, even pending, I think, today from the swine flu vaccine of 1976, which gave all kinds of autoimmune reactions and responses that killed many, many, many people and destroyed the lives of many, many, many others. We're dealing with a whole series of vaccines that have been developed, you know, over the last five decades or more. And according to Dr. Peter Boyle, all of these are bioweapons. And he's the guy who wrote the U.S. law on biological warfare. And I, of course, believe that. Catherine Austin Fitz has done a great job on describing what is actually happening now with the Great Reset, the Go Direct system, whereby the Federal Reserve and the World Economic Forum and the UN and the globalists want to go direct to the human body and give us a digital currency. They want to completely surveil us with their, you know, remote electronic technology. I referred to Dr. Norbert Wiener's work back in the 50s. Well, that has been improved on since the 1950s. And of course, the targeted individuals like myself have been the guinea pigs for these technological advances whereby humans can be remotely surveilled and even thoughts influenced and changed and behavior modified remotely. It's called the activated man. It goes back to MK Ultra subproject 119 of 1959, Saul B. Sells, Texas Christian University. We want to see if we can remotely activate the test subject. That means with electromagnetic frequencies. So what they plan to do is hook up everybody in the world via these vaccines with the nanotech and the mRNA to rearrange your genetic code And then, of course, there's the aborted fetal tissues and the heavy metals and various other nasty things in there and the different vaccines. And what they plan to do then is turn us into their cyborg slaves, and essentially to create an operating system within the human so that the human can be controlled much like Bill Gates would, you know, control his computers with Microsoft. So whereas, you know, Bill Gates made his fortune with Microsoft, and then they had all these viruses that then had to be, they had to keep changing operating systems, you know, to respond to all these different viruses. So what they want to do with these, you know, periodic or regular vaccines is to keep updating the human operating system so that they can be remotely controlled and give us currency then on digital currency, which is like credits on the company store, so that there's no more messy cash anywhere. And we are given credits if we are doing what the authorities want us to do. But of course, if we're not doing what they want, then they would withhold the credits on the company store, and it would be impossible to eat and sleep and you know, do anything. So this really is the mark of the beast system. You know, they will neither buy nor sell without this. And so I am extraordinarily very skeptical about the vaccine. I do think it's premeditated mass murder of humanity, eugenics and euthanasia all rolled together. And if you want another little tidbit for where this is going, have you heard of the Abraham Accord, Andy?
Well, I haven't. No. What can you tell us about that?
Okay. Well, I on my gang stalking mind control cults website, I have an article called "Symbols in the Scimitar," and scimitar, of course, is an ancient weapon that, you know, was used by in the Middle East, you know. But this is there is a coin, a symbolic coin that has come out in Israel just in the last year, which shows the symbols in the scimitar, which is the symbol then of the Abraham Accord. It's a medallion which depicts the global satanic kingdom. And I've got this article. We can post it on the notes as well as the other article about the cults. "Symbols in the Scimitar: Does New Israeli Abraham Accord Medallion Depict Global Satanic Electronic Enslavement and Mind Entrainment System?" And what we see is we see this coin, and there's a big old scimitar, big old sword. And of course, this is what was used in the past to cut off the heads of Christians, etc. And this is an accord that is between Israel and United Arab Emirates just of this last year. Supposedly, it's peaceful. I got this information from a Dana Ashley video in which she says, coming to America, she describes the gruesome symbolism depicted in the scimitar on the back of the Abraham Accord medallion. The medallion was released on September 15th, 2020, by Temple Coins to commemorate the peace agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. But if we notice the symbols in the scimitar, we see a facial recognition and biosurveillance equipment. We see medical needles for vaccinations, like the COVID vax shots. We see zeros and ones to depict computer language and artificial intelligence. We see a bunch of gears, and all these elements will mesh together in an AI-controlled Internet of Things and consciousness, the hive mind. We see Wi-Fi EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies such as 5G from trees, cell towers, and satellites for surveillance and targeting of everyone. We see a radar or LIDAR dish, which can use infrared light or lasers to target individuals and groups. We see a space shuttle. We see a dove with an olive branch near the top. And at the very top, at the highest placement of the coin, we see Saturn, the symbol of Satan. And Dana Ashley says, guys, they have to tell you who they worship. So, and then I say in my little article, these are the same technologies used in the active surveillance, remote neural monitoring and manipulation, and EMF tortures of, quote, targeted individuals such as myself. And these same technologies are integral to the AI-driven 5G Internet of Things smart city technocracy system come fascist, feudalistic New World Order, One World Government, UN Agenda 2030 corporatocracy that elites are now imposing upon the world. And this agenda just happens to conform to Jews' long-sought goal of establishing a, quote, Jewish utopia, aka Jewish universal empire, in which all the wealth and property of their world is concentrated in their hands, as per statements go back hundreds of years, and all goyim are genocided and or enslaved, as per the Talmud phrase, when our Messiah comes, every Jew will have 2,800 Gentile slaves. And this vision just happens to coincide with Satan's long-sought Antichrist kingdom. But these must be just a series of amazing coincidences, A, lest I be labeled an anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist. But I suggest the symbols and the scimitar represent just what they appear to represent. The Satanists' obligatory pre-crime confession of their intent to establish a global electronic genocide enslavement control grid, indeed Satan's kingdom, under the guise of ushering in world peace. Thus, I recommend Christians and other good people send these psychopathic criminals to the FEMA camps before they can execute their intended blood sacrifice, Hebrew terms Shoah or Holocaust, or burnt offering to Satan of humanity. Jesus himself told them they are the children of Satan in John 8:44. Ms. Ashley, who has difficulty pronouncing the name of Jesus Christ properly, she says Yeshua, seems to be recommending in her video that Christians accept their prescripted fate of mass beheading, which is now high-tech mass beheading with these electromagnetic frequencies, and the scimitar. Symbols in the scimitar, by laying down face up with a smile and a prayer for their executioners. Is Miss Dana Ashley Jewish? I recommend we send these devils to hell before they utterly destroy humanity. We sorely need warriors for the Prince of Peace, not corpses. We need to follow his example and chase the money changers, totalitarians, and serpent people out of the temples of economic, political, and spiritual power for good. So I'll send you the link to that, Andy. But this is a part of a medallion to honor the Abraham Accord. And the reason I bring this up is I heard President Trump's farewell address yesterday, in which he mentions the Abraham Accord very favorably. And of course, I believe now looking back, Donald Trump, probably another Jewish billionaire, handled by mostly Jews in the White House, the Chabad Lubavitch sect, etc. So, you know, even though many Americans thought he was the great populist savior of America, I believe that there's pretty good possibility that this was a role he was playing and that he was manipulated throughout. But that's a whole nother subject. But the reality is, I think that there is a synagogue of Satan, that these people are in Satan's hive mind. They do Satan's bidding. They through theurgy, they're summoning spirits, the devils, the demons, and they're trying to bring in the satanic kingdom, and they're trying to rope you and me and everybody else into that satanic hive mind technologically and by every device and trick they can think of. And, of course, this is the whole subject of the Bible, is this spiritual war that we're engaged in. So I very much see this as a culmination of this spiritual war.
Yes, that's very interesting. We've got about just under 10 minutes left. So I think one thing that I've heard, well, I mean, what you just said about Trump, I completely supported him during his campaign, thought, you know, this is going to be great. We've got Brexit in the UK. Let's get Trump in the USA and all that. But unfortunately, on both accounts, we didn't get what we were voting for. And so I think that, you know, they were both ops to a certain extent. But the Trump situation, it's said in the Bible, by their fruits ye shall know them. So it's by what they do, not what they say. People can, and they will continue to argue this point forever. You know, Trump, well, he was hindered by different judges. This happened to him, that happened to him. But there were too many opportunities that he had to actually counter what was being done to him. It's just become to a stage that it's just not believable that he can make that many mistakes. And he did very little for his supporters. I mean, it's funny, isn't it, when we see all these people arrested in the Capitol building and stuff. You know, he should have pardoned all of them for the simple reason that he riled them up. But that what you learn about Trump is the basis for the expression with friends like these, who needs enemies? Because even people who won't work closely alongside him, you know, General Flynn, Paul Manafort, all these people that have been sent to prison, being put on trial, he just let it happen. And he should have been ruthless and said, no, I'll just come out to the people. Look, I see what's going on. They don't want me elected. I'm trying to get rid of the deep state. And so they can be putting these people on trials. I'll just pardon them because I'm able to pardon them, and that's what I'm going to do. But he didn't. And he was so bombastic in his rhetoric, but he wasn't bombastic in his actions. That's the whole point. People, I remember saying that regardless of what he did, it was quite entertaining hearing him speak. Well, yeah, it was, because he was all full of bravado. And he won't let this happen, he won't let that happen, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. But when it came down to it, he didn't do anything. So indeed, to me, he seems to be like an actor. And I think that what we're seeing is even more sinister when I hear, I mentioned this on the show with Dr. Peter Hammond yesterday, that they're looking, anyone who was in the Capitol at the time of the protests a couple of weeks ago, if they had their cell phone with them, then they would be recorded as being there, and they're all going to get a knock on the door and be asked questions. And it just prompted me to thinking, Eric, and I brought it up with Peter, but I'd like to bring it up with you as well, because this is more your field. Could it be that Trump wanted this rally in Washington because in Washington there's going to be more surveillance than there is in anywhere else in the country, because it's where the Oval Office, where the president resides and what have you, and therefore to bring all these pro-Trump, I mean the what do you call them, the die-hard Trump supporters, you know, people that would travel from, you know, other far and wide across America just to be there to show their support. And of course the security services are going to be more interested in someone who's prepared to make that sort of effort, especially when, you know, you've got all these problems with restrictions of movement with this pandemic, etc. People that would go to that length, and they want all their details because they see them as a threat. What a great way to get them. Any thoughts on that, Eric?
Absolutely. You know, yeah, and of course, we've been talking about the G5, what I've called G5, the gang stalking system, global government gang stalking genocide Gestapo. And of course, this is now being ramped up with the pharmacovigilance, which is going to, you know, be run by Google and Oracle, which are CIA cutouts for all people who get the vaccine by the U.S. military. This is a military operation. So what we're looking at is the military and the intelligence agency completely on board with the quote unquote globalists. And the brilliant reporting of Whitney Webb, the reporter, has, I think, a lot to add to this. She's got a, I've got a post on it at Israel's Unit 8200 pre-planned or war-gamed the 2020 election chaos and the new cyber 9/11. And in that extended interview she does on The Last American Vagabond, she talks about her articles, and she mentions Cyber Reason as a cutout for Israeli intelligence, and has they have been war gaming and also neocons of the PNAC group, Project for New American Century. And she finds ties with the 9/11 operation, the same operatives, the same people involved in the election chaos, post-election chaos in America we've had to 9/11. And she says they're now making a government-wide effort to go after, quote, domestic militias. They're calling them foreign entities. And their narrative is that, quote, white extremism coupled with anti-Semitism is leading to the next 9/11. And then now it's all about combating anti-Semitism. Now, if they show a little Department of Homeland Security meeting in March 2020, DHS Advisory Council's Robert Rose, certainly Jewish, asserts that domestic anti-terrorism is now more and more considered domestic terrorism. Anti-Semitism is now considered domestic terrorism. Their implication is that white supremacists are working with Iran as domestic terrorists. These groups are united due to the extreme anti-Semitism they have in common, according to the narrative. And the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, JTF, is merging with groups that also want to focus on the threat of domestic terrorism. And the fusion centers, which are run by DHS and Joint Terrorism Task Force of the FBI, are getting information from their partners, who include tech companies, of course, you know, the Google, et cetera, and the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, that they use to go after the terrorists. So the ADL is funded by the mega group of Jewish billionaires like the Bronfman family, Ronald Lauder, Pierre Omidyar, who are at the forefront of deplatforming independent media. And then the ADL functions, according to Whitney Webb, as the lobby for the Israeli government and criminalizes anyone who criticizes Israel. It was born out of B'nai B'rith, the Masonic Lodge in New York, founded in the early 1800s. The ADL was originally formed by the Leo Frank rape lynching case to protect Jews from paying for the consequences of their crimes, and the ADL has longstanding ties with Israeli National Crime Syndicate, aka Meyer Lansky, the Jewish Mafia. And in this, they show a woman from Minnesota saying, and this is really pertinent to all of our discussions here, Andy, Ms. Sanborn says, I can tell you from my time in the upper Midwest that one of our best partners was and still is the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas. These relationships are working. In just the first quarter of this fiscal year, these partnerships have assisted the JTTF, the Joint Terrorism Task Force of the FBI, in disrupting and arresting 38 terrorism subjects right here in the United States. So in other words, anybody that the Jews are worried about, anybody who criticizes Israel, can show up on these terrorism watch lists and then be targeted and become a targeted individual, such as myself. So this is actually a very, very sophisticated torture and murder operation run through our Department of Homeland Security and FBI, targeting American citizens who are patriots. And again, the Washington operation can be seen in that light, too. In other words, just like the Q operation, according to Alex Jones and others, as we were talking before the show, is kind of a recrudescence of Operation Trust, which was used back in 1920 by the Soviet communists. Of course, they were also Jewish. To identify and infiltrate their enemies and then take them out. So, We're up against very, very sophisticated counterintelligence, mafia, military operatives who have been operating together, across the world for many, many decades and even generations. And now the takedown of America is using many, many of the same exact tools that were used in the Soviet Union by the East German Stasi, of course. The Department of Homeland Security was trained by Marcus Wolf of the East German Stasi, another Jew, and is now run by a guy named Wolf, who knows, maybe it's his son, I don't know. But we have, these people are in positions of power. So we have been thoroughly infiltrated by these fifth column groups. And I'd just like to leave you with this quote by Cicero: a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not as a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. Of course, this is Cicero speaking from the time of Julius Caesar back in the Roman Empire, when these same dynamics were in operation. And Jews were a very, very formidable enemy of the government at that time, too. So we've made quite a roundabout here, but I think we've pulled out some very interesting dynamics that kind of show that the enemy is not China here. Our main enemies, Chinese communists, of course, were created by and trained in the United States by these cabals. Mao was educated in Yale, et cetera. And, Pol Pot and these murderers are often trained by Western intelligence. to carry out genocide of the population. Over 100 million in China, probably over 100 million in Russia. And I'm afraid America's in the sights, but many, many countries now could be taken down using these same techniques by essentially the same operatives. It is a spiritual war. We are talking about the serpent seed, I believe. And I suggest we don't roll over and smile at our enemies, as Dana Ashley suggests. I suggest we take them out. That's just my impression, Andy. I don't know. We're all different, you know.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, for joining me today on our show entitled What Really Happened at Jonestown. I want to thank all of you for listening. It is, of course, the weekend tomorrow, so I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back with you all on Monday, folks. And until then, bye for now.